Okay, this morning's scripture reading is from John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. You can read it up there. There it is. Okay, good. After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming towards him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not be enough bread, would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things I like about the intergenerational service is that element of unpredictability, but I almost lost all my sermon notes there, so that would have been very unpredictable. So let's just pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for families and children that we can gather together. Thank you for your teaching of faith and compassion for us, your compassion on us. And I pray that you would help us to learn from your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in today's story, in today's slice out of the life of Jesus, we're going to learn that the main thing says compassion, but as I was going through it, the faith piece kept coming up, so I thought I would put a piece about that in there as well. And we're going to learn about how Jesus builds faith in his disciples and in us. And we're going to learn how Jesus shows compassion on the people who are passionate to learn from him. Now, as we read the stories in the Gospels, we see Jesus teaching and responding to the people who are coming to learn from him and the people who are coming to maybe confront him or not learn from him. But when we reread the Gospels, we realize more and more how, in every situation, Jesus is teaching on many different levels. And he aims his word and his actions to either to support or encourage or engage or challenge the different members of his audience according to what they need to hear or see or gain from him. So in this story, on one level, we see Jesus in his compassion providing for the needs of others. On another level, he teaches his disciples how he can take their faith and do incredible things with it. And both of these things are happening in the same story through the same actions. One thing that's always interesting about organizing the intergenerational services is that we need to try to find something for everybody. And so we try to have something for adults and something for kids and sort of a bit of a combination of both. And so in the spirit of that, I'd like to explore an analogy for a couple of minutes. And I ask you for your patience. It only lasts about a page. So if it doesn't work for you, then you can dismiss it. But the analogy is about giants. Now, not the Vancouver Giants, although they're pretty cool too. But we're talking the real old school, 25 feet tall giants. Okay? Now, I think giants are awesome, and it's our IG service, and lots of our kids here know stories about giants. Now, how many of you kids out there think giants are awesome? Okay, we've got a few people. How many think they're kind of scary? About the same? All right, fair enough. Now, I want to ask you, a little bit as the adult, I suppose, have you ever wondered why there are so many giants in children's stories? Right? And it's probably not too hard if we think about it for a minute. The world of children is filled with giants, right? They start out so small, right, and there are people around them in their world are so big. Their first giants, of course, are their parents, who are usually, generally, hopefully, pretty friendly, right? They have aunts and uncles who are, friendly too, but there can be some weird giants in that group. And then there's the older cousins. Now, they can be friendly, but they can also be a bit treacherous and play by some unexpected rules. And then, of course, there's all the giants outside of their family and household, and those ones are just wild and predictable and, you know, possibly a bit dangerous. Now, telling stories about giants, or telling stories about anything, can be a way of naming some of the uncontrollable things in the world. And of course, giants in all the stories are overwhelming and controllable. Uncontrollable. And they can be the overwhelming and uncontrollable things in life. And when we're kids, there are lots of those overwhelming things. In the stories of giants, though, of course, there are heroes who, through help or courage or cleverness or luck, are able to defeat the hostile giants and match wits and power with the ones who are treacherous. So, Ava, Aaron, what are you guys doing up there? How did you get to be so tall?
We are giants, and we can look above all of you.
Awesome. Excellent. So you can. Thank you. All right. So now we got the giants reversed here. Now, when we become adults, we think we've defeated the giants. We've got skills. We've got jobs. We know how the world works. We may think we've got it all figured out, or at least if we don't, we're sure not telling anybody. Okay? We try to keep the uncontrollable and overwhelming things away from our lives. We keep our lives organized and, you know, things are in place. And so, when we make sure that things work in our life the way we want them to. As adults, that also runs another risk. It can cut out some of the good stuff. So can anybody tell me who is the biggest and most uncontrollable of them all? Sophia?
Me.
You. Okay. Looking for a little more cosmic. Sorry?
God.
God, right? Of course. God is the biggest, right? And he can't be controlled by anybody. Really, right? Thank goodness God's friendly. Now, we switch over to Jesus, who is also God. And Jesus, of course, was human like us. He could feel pain. He could suffer. He could get angry. He could feel love. But he's also God. And it means that there's always some element of that uncontrollable bigness in anything that Jesus is doing. We have that when we're really listening to Jesus, that starts to come out. And so Jesus' disciples, the people who are always with him, I wonder sometimes if maybe they felt a bit like dwarves compared to Jesus some of the time. Right? And probably they should. And probably we should too. Okay. So I'm going to leave the analogy and I'm going to return to the story. But I want you to keep that idea in your head of the big friendly God, but who can't be controlled by us. Okay? That's important. When kids read the stories of the amazing things that Jesus does, they are, quite rightly, amazed by them. And we as adults have heard those stories so many times, they sometimes lose their power for us. We believe them, but we're afraid that if we act like the people in the stories, we're going to lose control of our world. And we can't have that. But sometimes, God wants us to think more like the kids do. Now, Jesus constantly challenged his disciples. And people sometimes, you know, put the disciples down or say, or make fun of them or things like that. But to me, the cool thing about the disciples is that just like the kids, they threw themselves into every situation that Jesus gave them. They didn't try to control the situations. They always had these honest reactions to things. They didn't try to minimize them or avoid them. They made tons of mistakes. Right? But that's a lot like kids do. And, you know, when we criticize the disciples for making mistakes, I wonder about that because, you know, maybe we should be making more of their kind of mistakes. Maybe I should be making more of their kind of mistakes because mistakes are how we grow. We face the challenges, we accept the wonder of God's world, and we grow in our faith. Our kids are full of wonder and full of faith. Jesus himself said that unless you become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think maybe this is a bit of what he's talking about. Right? We need to have that honesty and that reality about what we're thinking. One other piece there. So we're talking still about faith, right? People sometimes think with faith that you have faith because you're blindly trusting something or you're scared or you need a crutch. But I think it's a little different than that. I think we call it's faith because you have to trust in somebody who's big and friendly, but he's somebody that you can't control and you don't know where he's going to take you. And the disciples didn't know where Jesus was going to take this. So, I'm sure my wife's thinking, where are you going with this? So, let's get back to a little safer ground. I would like to have, I need a couple of kids from Olivet Kids to come up. Ava, sure, come on up. So, well, what I actually need you to do, Ava, is to choose an adult. Can you choose an adult and bring them up here? Okay. Hi, Dawn. So, thanks for coming on up. Thanks for coming on up. Appreciate that. So, Dawn, I want you to look out at the people who've got here, right? And there's about 150 of them here, and it's getting towards lunchtime.
Yes.
Okay. So, Dawn, I've got $5.
$5.
Okay. Can you take that and just go out and get like a nutritious and healthy meal for everybody. Something that's going to fill them, satisfy them, they're going to feel good about that.
I can do that.
With $5?
No, but okay. I can leave.
Okay, if you can't get a meal, can you go take that $5 and get me like a double macchiato from Starbucks?
Maybe.
Probably not either, actually. Okay. All right, thanks, Don.
That's
perfect.
It?
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you.
I go too.
All right. So, in the story, Philip says, right, Jesus says, let's go buy them some food. And Philip says, it would take us 6 months' wages for everybody to have even a little tiny bite. And Philip knew how much money the disciples operated on, right? He knew what their sort of disciple band operating budget was. And he knows they do not have enough money to even begin dealing with the challenge Jesus sets for them. Now, 5,000 men, in the story is what it says, means at least as many women and children, so maybe 10,000 people, right? So that's a lot, right? But that is Jesus' point. He's setting up a giant-sized challenge for the disciples. And the cool thing about the disciples is they accept the challenge. They say, well, Jesus, this is what we've got, right? This is what this is our money. This is what we can do with it, right? And so they look, and then they start to look around for the resources that they have, and they bring them to Jesus. Now, so I have another challenge. I need another child, a different one this time. What's your name?
Laura.
Laura, come on up. Okay. Now, Laura, I need you. I need you to get, let's see. Do I need you to get another adult? I need you to get another adult. Could you get an adult? Thanks for coming up. What's your name?
My name's Lydia.
Hi, Lydia. Okay, I'm Rob.
Hello.
By the way. So I've got another challenge here for you. So we've got, same challenge, right? We've given up on the money piece. But I've got a piece of bread and I've got two fishy crackers and I'd like you to stretch this into a meal. You guys have seen Iron Chef, right? Where they give you a couple of ingredients and then you gotta try and, you know, make a meal for everybody. So here's your ingredients. Now that's it.
Okay.
Right? Do you think you can we make a meal for everybody?
Yes.
Yes? All right. Well, optimism and faith.
As long as the meal is like this big.
This big. Everybody gets a little tiny bit. Excellent. Perfect. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. Appreciate that. I'm putting our adults into their comfort zones today. So I'm not going to call on anybody more adults, I don't think. So thank you very much. Thank you, Lydia. Thank you, Don. But this is the faith that Jesus is looking for. God presents us with what seems to be an impossible task, and we need to bring what we have to him. Like little children, in faith, knowing that by all our standards and expectations, it's absolutely not enough. But trusting that God, who can do the impossible, will take care of things. We'll do it. So whatever small amount of faith we bring to God, in whatever challenge God has presented us with, if we bring the little we have in faith, God will multiply it many times over. This is his promise, and if you read through the stories in the Bible, you see this happening over and over and over again. We bring a little, God brings everything. The second part of the story is that Jesus is compassionate. We talked about faith, we talked about multiple levels in the story, right, and how Jesus is teaching his disciples to have faith, but he's also, in that same process, demonstrating compassion on all of the people who are there. Right, Jesus isn't just doing this as a demonstration of power. He's not, you know, taking a selfie of himself breaking the bread and fish, right? He's God. He could do demonstrations of power all day. He doesn't need to do this, right? He doesn't need to show that he can turn fish into many different things, but... So what I want to do right now is I want to gather, we're going to talk about the compassion piece, but I want to gather all the kids who are up on stage singing earlier. Come on up here, please. It always gets a little untidy when we do these things, but that's okay. Laura's not here. She can't see what I'm doing. Jason promised he wouldn't tell either. All right. Excellent. So when we do our activities down in the salt cellar, this is kind of what we do. We sit down and we have a circle. I'm just sitting up here. Normally I'd be sitting down a bit lower, but I'm sitting up here because you guys got to be able to see me as well, right? So, and that's why it's a bit different. Yes, thank you. Okay. Now, so when we talk in our stories, a couple of weeks ago we talked about a man named John the Baptist. Do you guys remember that story?
Yeah, we had to throw bugs in the bath.
Yes, yes. Now, John was a man that God had called to prepare people's hearts for Jesus. And now today's, and what we call our story is the big God story, because that's what it is, right? We're already talking about God being big. It starts just after the evil King Herod had killed John the Baptist, had him executed because he didn't like what he was saying to him, right? Had his head cut off, right? And this was really sad news for Jesus, because Jesus was friends with John, right? They had they were part of the same family, and they had worked together on things, right? So he was so sad that Jesus decided that he would go far away from any town, but crowds of people found him. Okay, and so in the Bible, and there's two accounts of the story, one in John, one in Matthew. And in Matthew it says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, because he'd gone off in his boat, right? And so the people had, he'd gone off on his boat from one town down the coast a bit. The crowds had followed him along, right? When he landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. So when we talk, when we meet in our groups, we also talk a bit. So, guys, how do you think that Jesus, the people found Jesus?
They followed,
but he's in a boat. He's in a boat, right? They probably ran along the coastline, right? That's a pretty big commitment. So you're going along the coastline, keep in sight of this boat. Somebody's passing messages to other people, telling other people in the other villages as they go along, hey, Jesus, his boat is there. I can still see it. You know, he's going along. He's heading. It looks like he's heading for such and such a place. Right? Keeping track of that as they go. So that's a pretty big deal. They're pretty keen on finding him. Now, the next thing we want to do, we're talking about compassion. What does compassion mean? Sophia?
Being nice.
Being nice? It can be being nice. Any other ideas on compassion, Timothy?
Being merciful.
Can you talk, what do you mean by merciful? That's okay. Merciful is a good word. Any other words or ideas for compassion?
I have an explanation for merciful.
What's your explanation for merciful?
Like not yelling and screaming at someone if they're like, and like not cutting off people's heads.
Yeah, not cutting off people's heads. Somebody does something you don't like, or even something that is actually, we all agree, is bad. Merciful is being, is not treating them the way they necessarily deserve to be treated. So, other ideas around compassion. We may feel, compassion is a feeling that actually, sometimes in the stuff they give you the Greek word for things, and the Greek word for this is hilarious. I'll tell you later if you're interested. But we feel compassion when someone who is poor, or we see someone who's poor or left out or hurting, and we feel sorry for them. Now, but it's more than that, right? It's more than just feeling sorry for someone. It's a feeling that comes from deep inside of us that's overwhelming, that we can't help but do something about it. It's not just simply, that's unfortunate, right? And then going on our way, it's like, okay, got to do something, right? It's that difference. Now, Jesus had a lot of compassion for the people. Even though he wanted to be alone, right? He wasn't feeling great. He wanted to be alone. He put his needs aside because he had compassion, okay? Now, you might have thought that only a couple of people would follow him into the middle of nowhere, but 5,000, it says 5,000 men came, which means women and children too, so probably at least 10,000 people. That's a lot of people. Even though Jesus was tired, he had compassion on all these people. Now, the people were fascinated by Jesus, and they stayed until it got dark. They're in the middle of nowhere, there's no shelter, no bathrooms, and no food. The disciples came to Jesus and said, it's remote, it's getting late, send the crowds away so they can go into the village and buy food. Now, they probably could have done that, right? But Jesus said, nope, you get them something to eat, right? So what do you guys think, question for you, what do you think the disciples thought, and not just Sophia, what do you think the disciples thought when Jesus didn't want to send people away? Emily?
Are you crazy, man?
Are you crazy? They probably, you know, that was probably in the back of their mind somewhere. They didn't say it out loud, right? But they probably did think, that's not going to work. Okay? Now, but they did try. They did try to find 5 loaves. They found some loaves, and they found fish, right? So, Jesus told the disciples to sit down and on the grass, and he took the food, looked up to heaven, thanked God for it, and he broke it, and he asked the disciples to pass it out to the people. You guys have here, we have bread, and we have fish, and today you guys are going to be the ones, you guys here are going to be the ones with compassion, okay? Look at all those people out there. Everybody turn around and look at all those people out there. Don't you feel sorry for them? Don't you feel compassion? They've been sitting here all morning. They need something to eat. So let's help them. All right. Everybody stand up. So everybody gets some fish. Everybody gets some bread. Take some fish around, everybody. You take some for yourself, but share it to everybody. Okay. So you guys take that. You guys take that around. Everybody gets some. I'll get the vacuum cleaner later. So everybody make sure you get some bread, get some fish. They're for everybody. Is there anybody who hasn't gotten some? Everybody has to have something, right? Everybody has to have some fish, have some bread. Tear a piece off. Eat and be satisfied. If the disciples need more, we have lots more. Come on back up for refills. Is there anybody who has still not yet been fed? Disciples, of course, you can have some too. There's plenty for everyone. Okay, disciples, can you bring in all of the remaining bread and fish, please? For the disciples, if they want to come back for more after the service, you can too. So, and it says, at the end, they all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Right? So imagine now, 12 baskets. If it wasn't enough that Jesus has made food for everybody out of 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they actually end up with more left over than they had at the beginning. Right? And that's amazing. Jesus had taken this small amount of food and miraculously made it feed thousands of people. Now, in just a moment, guys, the band is going to have to come back up, so I'm going to send you guys back down and then leave the baskets here. But then after the service, you can come back for more. Go on. Go, go, go. Go, go, go. Off you go. Go, 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 go. Thank you. So look at all the leftover food. So Jesus had compassion that was more than just feeling sad for the people, more than just simply looking at a news story and thinking, well, that's too bad, or something like that. His compassion made it impossible for him not to serve people. He's God, and he's filled with God's Spirit. Now, God's Spirit also gives us compassion for others. And so we want to keep take that forward with us as we go today. Jesus had compassion. The disciples had faith. Jesus shared his compassion with the disciples. They responded with faith and action. And then, out of that, Jesus did something so incredible that the people who saw it realized how big Jesus really was. And as you read in the story, then they wanted to make him king. And then Jesus had to leave again. Now, this is why we follow Jesus. And so I want to give it to us, to me, to you, that in your worlds this week, look for what arouses your compassion. Look for what challenges your faith. And then, what can we do to act on that? So let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for this story, for a story that we've heard many times and seems simple. When we dig into it, it's truly amazing. Father, I pray that you help us to respond to with your compassion and to bring what we have in our faith so you can do amazing things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.